listening to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast, hosted by Reese Chanson.
Narcotic Saint or Narco Saint. It's based on a true Korean event, apparently. Basically a drug dealer named the Pastor moves into Suriname or Suriname. It's a country in South America. I discovered it during this show. I did not know about it. So that's the beauty of Netflix. They're teaching me something incredibly new. So thank you for that, Netflix. I've learned something new. Bizarrely enough, I don't know why I did not know about it. Anyway, this country is portrayed as a corrupt and drug-dealing country to the utmost fullest. Now, there has been rumors that the Suriname or Suriname Minister of Foreign Affairs had complained about Netflix doing this show about their country, saying that yes, they've had some drug-related problems in the past, and the way Netflix had portrayed them in the whole series is that they are a very corrupt country and they have no sense of, you know, justice and moral compass. But whether the story is based on true events and Netflix edits spice just for effect, it's none the case. But one thing's for sure, it's Korean, yes. It's not short in Korea, yes. And it shows the diversity of Suriname or Suriname. I don't know how to pronounce it. It seems like it's Suriname, but there's an I. So is it Suriname or Suriname? I don't know. Anyway, with that being said, Suriname, I don't know if I'm being too Irish, Suriname or Suriname. Well, the country has a lot of diversity based on the show. I didn't do any research on the country itself. I don't know if they have a variety of cultures of different people there in South America. I don't know if there's Chinese people. I don't even know if there's Korean people there. But in the film, but I do know for a fact there is Chinatown. And in my experience, there's always Chinatown in every bloody country, because the Chinese are everywhere. Now, so this show stars Mr. Kung, who's convinced by a friend of his to move to Suriname or Suriname to start a fishing business of some sort. There's some sort of fish that the Surinamians or the Surinames people don't eat or don't devour. So this friend of Mr. Kung convinced him, let's go out there, fish these things and import them back home and let's make a lot of money. Seems like a possible thing, seems possible, and they do that. They fly all the way there, they start their business, it's legit, they're shipping things in Korea. But like any place, there's always gonna be some bully. First off, the military shows up and they're like, pay us this amount of money and we'll offer protection. They put some bogus sign up on the fence of this factory of these dudes or this fishing house. And somehow that seems to be protective in them. And then some Chinese fella shows up and he's like, you're in my territory, so you need to pay me. So Mr. Kang and his buddies, these niggas are tripping. We're paying the army, now we gotta pay you. Jesus Christ, man, we're gonna be broke by the end of the month. Somehow, oddly enough, this guy's wife, Mr. Kang, keeps telling him, you have to go to church. You have to go to church. That's the only reason I allowed you to go there. Go to church. So he eventually goes to church, where he goes to this Korean church led by this Korean pastor dude called the Pastor. His name is not really said that. He's just called the Pastor. Now, that's a brilliant cover, mate. This guy is a pastor who's running an enormous drug dealing cartel business on soil. He's selling cocaine from top to bottom. This dude is doing an impeccable job. And his cover is he's a pastor. He's friends with the Suriname president. He pays him. He pays everybody. He's a pastor. The worst part is he's feeding children and young people narcotics to create a sort of cult. And they believe to the core. There are Nigerians in this thing, fam. There's Americans. There's Chinese. There's the Surinamian people. The fact that people, the actual people of the whole country. There's, like I said, there's Koreans, there's Nigerians, there's Africans. Africans are all the way there, man. Being bodyguards to this Korean drug cartel leader of some sort. So my man and his buddy are doing their business. They got blackmailed by this dude who said he wants his money, his Chinese dude. And somehow the pastor owns half of the territory in the country. meaning you get to sell this and you get to sell this. So the pastor's selling cocaine, and this guy is selling meth. They import to other countries. So import and export, you know, they do all that shit. Now they doing that because some seems like some most of their drugs are coming from Colombia. So they it's like Suriname is a distribution point of some sort. And these two dudes are running it. The Korean guy and the Chinese guy. The Chinese guy is doing meth and the Korean guy is doing cocaine. Now the Chinese guy wants to venture into cocaine because it's probably more money, more territory. They're shipping all the way to Europe. They're not doing it in America because when you do something legal in American territories or ship stuff in America, they will arrest your bum ass. So they're not doing that there. So they're focusing on the rest of the world, ignoring America. Everything's going great for them. They're doing well. They're flourishing. They're having a ball. They have some sort of respectable code. They have meetings where they say, you can't take this, I take this. They negotiate. It's a win-win situation. Now, the pastor somehow takes Mr. Kung and his buddy, who ends up dying anyway, under his wing, and he sort of protects them. He goes to this Chinese fella, and he tells him, these dudes are under my protection. First, there's a bit, seems like a bit scuffle there and there, but it's not nothing big, nothing blown out of proportion. These dudes are under his protection. Great. They're doing their business. They're no longer paying anybody by the looks of things, because just the pastor owns the military. He owns everybody, really. Business is going great. And somehow, while they're shipping stuff to Korea, you know, the fish thingies, they get a call that drugs were found in one of the containments. Now they get arrested. Mr. Khan gets arrested. He serves time. His friend gets murdered. He dies. Now, out of the blue, Mr. Khan assumes it's the pastor. He's assuming it's the pastor because he realized the pastor is a dangerous motherfucker. You don't mess with the pastor. He's a dangerous man with some money in his pocket. Keep up. So he serves his time and gets released by this NCIS Asian operative who he later finds out he's the reason he's in jail. They planted the drugs so they could corner him in jail and release him in order to get them to get him to help them catch the pastor with all these narcotics. So he goes undercover as an entrepreneur / civilian spy of some sort. He's an agent of the law. And somehow he breaks a deal with them that they pay him. They wipe his record clean of being arrested and shit. And he becomes a whole new man. His friend is dead. He makes a deal for his friend that his friend gets $20 million once the mission is complete. So it all seems like a ball. It all seems great. So he goes to Mr. Pastor. But before he died, he tries to lower the pastor into his grasp by going to the Chinese fellow and offering him a business deal. Like, I want to do cocaine with you, blah, 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 blah. Because while he was in jail, the police or the NIS or the Korean government was helping him push drugs into the prison system. So that sort of made him cool and the hot kahuna. That sort of attracted the people of the pastor and started making a lot of noise about his name, him doing great dealings and stuff like that. The pastor got interested and stuff like that. So he gets out of prison. He heads straight to this Chinese. He goes straight to Chinatown. He tries to struck a deal with the Chinese dude, and the pastor's not like that. And the pastor's the big kahuna. He's the guy with the big balls in Suriname or surname, whatever. So, long story short, the pastor's people show up, they grab him, and they're like, you gotta do business with us. Yeah, with us. So, long story short, my man, Mr. Kung, pulls up a business deal, and he brings in this NIS agent from Korea, pulls over and they start dealing narcotics. First off, they do this great deal that seems to be possible, but somehow they nearly die. First, they want to arrest this nigga with drugs by using, you know, simple routes like, let's ship this shit to Brazil. And they set up an ambush, but the Brazilian officers are, you know, they're part of the heist or the hoots or the ruse or the plan to capture the pastor. But somehow, you know, criminals are criminals. They start shooting, so it escalates and people start dying and shit. So they gotta clean this shit out and make it look like, yes, the Brazilian military did catch some criminals trying to ship drugs into Brazilian territory like that, but they were part of the deal. The Korean government, all they wanted is for this motherfucker to be caught. Either to be caught by the Brazilians and be prosecuted by the Koreans. All they wanted him was to be caught. Long story short, they end up making a deal with the Americans. And the Americans like, you gotta put this nigga in our territory for us to be involved. This nigga has to come in our territory. You thought he put him in America, but they're like, we're gonna put him in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is part of American protectorate or part of American territory. They're under the American protection, the American flag and shit like that. So somehow they convinced this dude, the pastor, to put his drugs over there. And he does that and he gets caught in the end. Long story short. But of course, a lot of great stuff and shockingly, death happened before that. First, the plan has to be set. The bait has to be set. And at first sight, at first glance, it seems like it's not going to be possible. The pastor's not taking the bait. So they got to come up with a plan B. The plan B is to get the Chinese fella to steal the coke or try to get him to murder the pastor. And that doesn't work. So the pastor catches the ruse and he's like, these motherfuckers trying to kill me. So he's like, hell no. Hell to the no, no, no. And bear in mind, Mr. Khan got to protect his ass, too. He got a family, and he got to make sure that everybody good and everybody safe. And he got to make sure he get out of his fucking country a clean man with a clean record with a lot of money in his pocket and safe and sound. Avenge his friend, as one, and also be clean and fair. Go back home, fam. That's what he got to do. But, you know, you got guns on your throat. You got the Pope on your back. The Pope might be helping you, but you got this crazy-ass Korean pastor, dude. Who's a drug dealer. He's a cult leader. He's out here kidnapping children, making them. This nigga, I'm going to tell you what this nigga did. This nigga, during Sunday or on a Sabbath, this nigga is using, he's putting cocaine in the sacrament. Cocaine in the sacrament, fam. And these, some of these congregation people don't know. That's why they gotta go to Sunday every Sunday. They're like, we gotta go to church. At first, I was like, why is he giving these people cocaine in the sacrament? Isn't he losing money? And then I was like, God damn it. These people pay tithe. And somehow, every fucking time they have tithe, they feel fresh. They feel amazing. I go to church again. And again, so I'm assuming he's giving them a small dosage, so small that they keep coming, they don't realize they're high on coke. So it's like they have some sort of routine. They take coke every Sunday, and every Sunday they're probably popping out wallets on top of paper stacks, on top of paper stacks. So the pastor making money off the church too. Goddamn, nigga, this nigga's smart. Now, whether this is based on true events, this dude was smart as a motherfucker. For a pastor, first glance, he's an actual pastor. You're like, this nigga's a pastor. And then he's like, what? And then when he pulled that Korean, this is my territory, I was like, why is this pastor dude so powerful? What has he got on this dude? Did this mama nigga tell him, if you mess with the pastor, I'm gonna beat you? Because I know most gangsters are afraid of their mamas. Mama was, or their grandma, something like that. So I was wondering, and I discovered this nigga dealing drugs. He's a gangster. He's a drug lord. He's the godfather. He's the big kahuna. Insert a name or surname, whatever, whichever way you pronounce it. So long story short, Nico or Narcotic Saint is dope as fuck. There will be no second season. They will not be. But I do have a few questions. What happens with the families and children of those people that he sort of kept under their will and making them take drugs to join his secretive cult and stuff? I don't know what's going to happen with them. And I don't know how a pastor walks around or has an escort of people with guns, black, strong Nigerian men. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with them being black and Nigerian. I'm just saying that these dudes are black. Like really black, and they're big, and they're not wearing any sort of uniform. They look like mercenaries, first of all, and they're carrying AKAs, big guns. If they were subtle, you know, holding pistols under their shirts, under their suit, it would make sense. But these dudes are at the back of a truck, back of a Toyota, back of a Bucky, with guns, mounted on top, barrel down, piston, scoped out on these niggas, ready to shoot, ready to fire, ready to blast anyone who comes close. That's just weird. And this weird part is, these Korean dudes are crazy in this shit. These Chinese dudes grabbed a nigga. Not a nigga per se. Like, they grabbed a person. They chopped off his legs and hands. And they fucking hung him up on the entrance of Chinatown like he was some sort of mannequin. Some sort of, what do they call this thing, you know? The Mexicans love this shit. They whack it. Piñata? I think it's a piñata. You know, they whack it and the candy pops out of it. They hung him like a fucking piñata. It was right there. Blood dripping, blood drying, in the sun, all day, every day, all night, all week, all month. Hanging there, fam. To send a statement that you don't fuck with us. And I was like, God damn, this is some serious gangster shit. That's some gangster shit. So, these dudes are gangster. This show is banging. This show is popping, fam. This show is for everybody. If you haven't seen it, what the fuck are you doing? Why do you have a Netflix subscription? And why ain't you using it? That's my question. Because this show is popping. Really popping. Now, should have they involved the Americans? I don't know. But I will tell you, the show is available in multiple languages. It's available in Mandarin. It's available. Because these languages, basically, they have a bunch of languages spoken on this thing. It's not only Korean, but the main language is Korean. There's English, there's Mandarin, there's Brazilian, there's Chinese. Oh, Mandarin is Chinese, I'm sorry. Why am I confusing myself? I'm confusing myself and I'm confusing you. If I'm confusing myself and I'm confusing you, we all confused. And I start speaking fast and you're like, what is this dude saying? Maybe I too am high on narcotics, man. Well, I like the concept. A pastor sells cocaine. Negro, Nyko, Saints. Narcotics, Saints. Narcotics, Saints. Narcotics, Saints. It's just brilliant. Well written. And of course, the ending, my man goes back home and the government ain't paying him for some sort of reason. And what's that all about, nigga? I don't know, but I know it's dope. So y'all should go out there and check out this show. It's great. It's for everybody, really. Not for the kids, but for everybody. There's a bunch of killing, yes. So, watch that out. Like any drug film, there's always going to be killing. There's always going to be an informant. There's always going to be a snitch. There's always going to be a traitor. And there's always going to be someone dying. And there's always going to be somebody going to jail for a mighty long time. And there's always going to be somebody looking for someone for out there to get revenge. I don't know. But I do know for a fact, it's a great ass show. I think everybody should go check it all out. Yep. Deuces. Now that was entertaining. You just listened to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast with Reese Jansen. With that being said, remember to support the podcast on Patreon. And let's hang out another time. Adios, folks. Adios.